And conditional use number 2305, Barnhill Preserve of Delaware LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a zoological park to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 7.24 acres more or less. The property is lying on the northeast side of Pepper's Corner Road, which is Sussex County Route 365, approximately 0.61 miles southeast of Roxana Road, which is Route 17. The 911 address is 34215 Pepper's Corner Road, Frankfurt, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 15, Parcel 124.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the applicant's preliminary plan, a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have received a letter from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We also have a copy of the applicant's deed. I would note that we received zero mail returns and there are five written responses in opposition. I would note those responses received after publication of the paperless packet have been circulated. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Gentlemen.
Hello. Tom Ford, Land Design. I'm here representing the application from a site planning standpoint. The owner will make a presentation on his operation and facility and management thereof. But just an overview of the application. It's a wildlife education center. Josh Mueller, who's with me here tonight, grew up on this land, and it was originally owned by his folks. It's now owned by himself. We seek a conditional use across the entire site, though we're only we're showing on the site plan a two-phase development. And phase one is pretty clear what we're looking at. And the applicant is aware that a site plan review for phase two will be necessary at the time that he's ready to do that development. It's 7.25 acres. It has setbacks in the front of 40 feet, side 15 feet, rear 20 feet. It's also encumbered with a tax ditch right-of-way buffer of 50 feet. Part of his operation is, and I only bring this up, he'll elaborate and go into detail, is the guest attendance is by reservation only, and the maximum number of guests is 25 people at one time. And the reason I bring that up is for the parking. So in phase one, we have 20 spaces. It's rare that each guest comes individually. They usually come in two or three, and even sometimes four. And we have employee parking in addition to that of 6 employee spaces. The 20 spaces allows for transition of one group not quite leaving, another group coming, and we think we have adequate parking for the facility. Generally, the site has existing features, such as the residential home of the owner, the garage, and then the outbuildings or accessory structures that primarily acts as the wildlife habitats, along with appropriately sized paddocks for adequate movement of the wildlife and exercise and recreation. The conditional use approval, we recognize that stormwater, which is not presently engineered, will need to be presented if the concept is approved in a preliminary fashion. We obviously have an outfall readily available with the tax ditch that runs through the property. DLDOT will seek DLDOT entry approvals. Note that there is no TIS that was required for that particular thing. One of the unique features I do want to point out from a site planning is there are state regs, and the owner will again go into more detail, that require for this kind of an operation an 8-foot perimeter fencing. So in addition to the paddocks for individual animals that have different height criteria and openings, there needs to be an 8-foot perimeter fence around the access points for the wildlife. A section of that front yard has been proposed as an area fenced off for the operation, and it is a see-through fence, that 8-foot fence, but it is located on the plan. I'd like to have Josh come up and fill in the details of his operation. And I'm available for any questions thereafter.
All right. So good evening. My name is Josh Mueller, and I'm the owner of Barnhill Preserve of Delaware. I'm an Eagle Scout born and raised in Sussex County, Delaware, and my family has owned the property 34215 Pepper's Corner Road since 1996, where I grew up for the majority of my life. I've always had a strong passion to work with animals, which drove me to get my degree in wildlife ecology at LSU. While attending college, I had the opportunity to work at Barnhill Preserve at its original location in Ethel, Louisiana, with John Ligon, who is my business partner with this Delaware location. It didn't take long for me to see that this would be a great addition to my home of Sussex County. Growing up here, we didn't have any options to go to zoos besides the Salisbury Zoo or the Brandywine Zoo, which are very far away from us, and the opportunity to learn about all these different animals that we have around the world. Our main mission at Barnhill Preserve is to educate, but not only the youth, but adults as well, about the conservation and all these different animals that we do have on our planet. In 2020, we helped fundraise over $75,000 for the Australian wildlife during the bushfires, and I spent a month over there personally helping rescue animals, taking care of them, supplying food as well. Three of my staff members also went over to help us as well. We've raised already over $15,000 for the Costa Rican wildlife just this year. Our mobile unit visits schools all over the Northeast, and we generally educate about 300,000 kids every single year. Our reach is extremely large. We are usually, you know, averaging just around 8,000 kids every single week. We have three, we consider them a crew. So each crew, you will usually go to a different state. We don't just focus on Delaware. Currently right now, I have employees that are in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and we've been visiting a school every single day of the week. So those programs are free for the schools, because we want everyone to have access to learning about the animals. So there is no exact cost for the schools to be able to have us come visit them. Our facility has given us the chance, though, to teach my local community about the different animals, but also inspire people to take action and to help these animals in the wild like we like to do. Some of the animals in our care are listed as threatened or endangered in the wild. So through breeding programs that we can offer, we can help increase our population, which helps allow us to prolong these species in the world. We worked very hard to receive the highest level of license offered by the United States Department of Agriculture. So we are a Class C exhibitor, so it allows us to be the same level as every zoo in the nation, including, you know, if you want to think San Diego Zoo, we have the same license of them to allow us to be able to acquire, to care for, and to breed all the animals in our care. We are inspected generally every single year. We can have a random inspection. This last year, we were just given our three-year inspection, which shows how strongly we try to make sure that we give the best care possible, because it's not easy to be able to acquire that. That means they trust us to not have to come within 3 years from our last inspection, which was in October. I have worked with the state of Delaware to receive an exhibitor license, which allows us to be able to exhibit in the state of Delaware. But we also have licenses in Florida, Kentucky, New Jersey, Maryland, Georgia, which are ones that require us to have license. There's other states that we do travel to, like I said, Ohio and Pennsylvania. They do not require us to have any license to be able to exhibit our animals in those states. So we started the zoological process to be able to get our accreditation with the Zoological Association of America. The abbreviation for that is going to be ZAA. You'll see a lot of times in code for Delaware, AZA is a requirement, but we have worked with the state of Delaware, with the Department of Agriculture, to allow us to include ZAA as an exception, because it meets more of our needs and what our beliefs are with the care of the animals. They still have a very high level of care required, and that's where we talk about the 8-foot fence. They require that, as well as the USDA recommends it, to make sure for the safety of the community and the safety of the animals, that there is an appropriate fence that people can't climb over, that animals aren't able to climb over or jump over. Animals of high risk, we do have to have roof enclosures over top of them, such as our Eurasian lynx. It's a fully enclosed enclosure, so that way there is no chance for that animal to ever escape. Our first priority is the well-being of our animals. So we have a zoological vet who visits our facility every single month. She does a full inspection of all of our animals and to make sure that everyone's healthy. We work very closely with Dr. Mike Metzler. He will give any treatments that are needed when our vet is not in the state. And she's always available by call 24/7 so she can walk him through anything. Since he is not an expertise in the zoological world, but he does have the background to be able to take care of the animals and have all of the necessary things at his hands. We have a zoological nutritionist who has created our diets that are not only for each species, but tailored to each individual animal in our care. So for instance, I have 5 two-toed sloths. She doesn't design a diet for sloths. She designs a diet for every single sloth that we have by its weight, what it likes to eat, its activity levels. So we take extreme care and really do pay attention to all the little details for all of our animals. Over the years, we've continued to update and improve our enclosures to give optimal chances of enrichment, which are extremely important, so that way the animals feel happy and are always able to flourish. All of our staff have degrees in biology or have comparable experience. Our 11 professionals on our team have received extensive training to ensure they are well-equipped to be able to work with the animals in our care. With a combined 16 years experience from John Ligon and myself, we've developed a lot of protocols to make it easier and safer for the care of our animals. I've worked with Delaware about the nutrient waste management plan. But since we do not exceed 8,000 pounds in animals, we have not been designated as a need to have a plan in place at this current moment. But to match the SBA protocols in Georgetown, we bag our animal waste and dispose of it with a local approved waste management service. We have proposed a manure barn, as you can see on the plan. Just in case we ever do exceed that 8,000 pounds, we want to have something already in place because we know how long the process takes. We want to be ready for it. So we put something in there for that. I live on the property to make sure that I'm available 24/7 for any emergencies or if there's any assistance that ever needed by any of my staff. Anyone who knows me knows my true passion for animals and how much I love them. I was recently elected on the board of directors to a prestigious U.S.-based nonprofit that rescues wildlife in Costa Rica and helps be able to bring them back to health whenever they've been injured, hit by a car, electrocuted, anything like that. This kind of work is only possible by people that have a strong passion for animals and their well-being. But most importantly, it is my desire to continue to share my love for animals with the community. Guests from around here and visiting from neighboring states have all benefited from our short amount of time open to the public. I would like to share some of the comments that have been given and reviews that have been given to us from people that have visited the last year. I do have a couple copies that I would like to offer. There's a few pages, so I kind of folded them together. I didn't have a stapler, I'm sorry. But I'm not going to read all of them, but there are, you know, some if you want to read. But I just kind of want to highlight a few of them. By Amanda Conrad, she said, "I highly recommend this new gem in our area." I mean, we are new. This last summer was our first summer of being open for tours. The summer before that, of 2020, we did offer kangaroo yoga, which is kind of what sparked our interest in working in this area. So it's a really fun thing for people, and we just saw how much everyone enjoyed that activity. Kelly Lawyer, "We had an amazing time at Barnhill Preserve. The staff was friendly and knowledgeable, and the up-close and personal nature of the experience was unmatched. I highly recommend it and would definitely go again." Jennifer Brennan, "We had a wonderful experience at Barn Hill. The staff was very knowledgeable and friendly. All the animals looked very well cared for. You can tell the staff takes great pride in everything they do to make the encounter safe and enjoyable for everyone." Donna Nelson, "Such a wonderful experience. A must-see. Animals well taken care of and have a great relationship with the staff. Everyone was very friendly and knowledgeable." Jessica Eve, "I drove 3 hours each way to get here, and it was worth it. The staff was incredible, friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to ensuring everyone had a great time and their questions were answered. We got to put and hold so many furry, scaly, and spiky animals. This is a great place for people of all ages to enjoy." Carolyn Duncan, great place and everyone was so nice. The owner knows a lot of information about each of the animals housed here and spent a good deal of time educating me about them. I was able to hold the hedgehog, the Joey, which is a baby kangaroo, and get to feed a sloth. What a great experience. Thank you.
Okay, I think we got it.
Yeah, sorry. I really want that one because, you know, I was the owner.
I'm asking you to move on, okay?
But, yeah, so you can just see how the trend is. Everyone had a great time that has come and been part of this. I would also like to acknowledge the support from my neighbor, Brian Jones, from across the street. At first, he was a little hesitant about the idea, but after speaking with him and listening to his concerns, it was easy for me to put at ease any concerns that he did have. He wrote a letter, so I was going to get those as well.
Perfect, yeah, good.
In support of me opening, and he is directly across the street from me. So, finally, I would like to express that I have no intentions on building a massive zoo. Here, we are trying to create a more personal experience through our guided and educational tours. All of our groups are small, maxing at about 25 guests, with a personal guide to teach them about all of our animals. We allow a stronger connection with our unique encounters that also assist us with all of our daily animal enrichment. A common question that is asked to me is, how can someone's child work with these animals the same way that I have? The only answer is through experiences and opportunities that we are offering. We are developing a program for schools to be able to come to our facility for field trips. We are designing a junior keeper program for kids to shadow us and our animal caretakers during the summertime, and we're going to continue to offer educational presentations all over the East Coast and Northeast. I know that occasionally some of our animals can be a little vocal, but they are no louder than any traditional agriculture animals such as cows, horses, and chickens. We have been very considerate with our hours of operations, being open from April until Christmas with limited hours on the shoulder seasons. Our first kangaroo yoga session starts at 7 a.m., which is a very quiet and peaceful event. Our tours start at 10 a.m., with the last one ending generally about 7 p.m. We held some later events, but never exceeded 9 p.m. in the summer, since we do not want to create any light pollution or any nuisance. We are currently in the process of working with the Ultra Solar Group to make our facility operate off of 100% green energy. I hope that the members of the board can see the true passion that I have in this business and how much of an asset that it is for the community, and I'll take any questions that you might have at this time.
All right. Well, the first one you have got to start with is, you got to tell us what kangaroo yoga is.
Yeah, because I want to sign up.
Yeah. Well, it actually started
down the line. Everybody's going to have their questions, but I want you to start with that one.
Absolutely. It actually started because of the bushfires. We were trying to raise money for Australia, so we partnered up with some of the local studios, and we were doing it inside the studios, which it worked to an aspect, but it's a lot harder when our kangaroos were getting bigger, which is what happened in 2020 by the time the summertime hit. So we have a big paddock, which is just a fenced-in area, and we allow the guests to be able to come inside that area. You're going to set your mat up. We place some food bowls around, which is going to promote and encourage the kangaroos to be a little bit more active around you.
Oh, kangaroos, food bowls.
Yeah.
I was starting to think this is starting to sound pretty good.
Yeah, right? And so basically while you're doing yoga, you have kangaroos that are just hopping around, and every experience has been different. We've had people that come back multiple times where kangaroos have slept on their mats. They've, laid next to them. They've assisted them with some poses as well. So it's a really fun thing that is good for all ages. And that's only one of the many experiences that we offer. So we do kangaroo yoga. We have a paint night with our sloths. So we've actually taught our sloths how to hold a paintbrush and to paint on a canvas. So while we have an instructor teach you how to do a portrait of a sloth, our sloth is actively painting as well, and we allow the guests to hold the canvas and paint on there. We partnered up with Salted Vines, and we do a sipping with sloths event where guests can come and drink wine at Salted Vines and be able to see our sloths. And then we have our encounter tours, and we also have otter swims as well.
Okay. We'll see if anyone else has any questions for you. We'll start with Ms. Wingate.
It's clear you have great passion for animals, and I love it. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for our children and the big kids as well. I was out there and doing my little visit, and I was just amazed with the camel. And he does make some noises, so but I'm assuming that would be just the normal animal noise that's coming out. But sweet, though, and the sloth. That was just over the top, so I'm going to have to check out that sipping with the sloth thing.
There you go.
So for conditional use, I need to get it on the record for a number of employees and all that. Is that correct?
It's up to you, although we've kind of gotten away from the number of employees requirements just because, again, it's, you know.
The hours of operation he already mentioned, so it, that could be part of a condition. So you said 7 a.m. for yoga to start?
7 a.m. is when our first yoga session starts. We usually recommend the guests to be there 15 minutes prior to that, so that way we can get them checked in and be able to just give them rundown. And then we've had no event go past 9 p.m.
Okay. No outside music or any other kind of noises?
It's the only music are a few small speakers, like during yoga. We'll play some, you know, the music to get you in the yoga mood.
Relaxation music.
But it never is any high decibels because we don't want to agitate the animals.
There was a comment in the packet that we just received about an animal getting outside of, can you speak to that?
Yeah, so the state of Delaware, we work with them. They know every animal that we bring in the state. We have to supply them a health record and even every animal we take out. And it wasn't ours. That type of animal, it is an agouti, which is a South American rodent, which can be a delicacy for some people. So from what I expressed to the state vet was that it could have been someone that had it and it escaped that they were, you know, possibly using for food. I don't know.
And your stuff is all registered?
But our stuff is all registered. So they would have had documentation if we had. We don't have any in our care.
Okay. Those are the only questions I have. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, the 8-foot fence would require a trip to Board of Adjustment, right?
You'd beaten me to it, Mr. Mears. I was going to ask Mr. Ford that question. And we had identified that at the pre-application stage. So, yep.
Do you plan to live stream kangaroo yoga?
We haven't yet, but I mean, if there's someone that wants it.
I'd be interested in seeing. I don't know. I'm probably too busy to come by.
We do.
Too early for me, 7 a.m.
I'll go if you'll go, Bruce.
All right.
There you go. Let's make it a field
we'll
trip.
We'll go, and maybe they can have the winery there, too.
There you go.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hoy Stevenson.
This is basically an agricultural use other than people coming to see it, correct?
Correct.
That's the only reason I'm assuming we need to have a conditional use, really.
Correct.
I mean,
it's not specifically called out as permitted use in AL1, so it needs to see you.
Yeah, we were hoping to be able to do the agritourism, but it seemed as if it was a little bit too out of the box from with the animals that we chose.
And you actually use kangaroos, not wallabies?
We have both, but generally red kangaroos are the ones that we use. Believe it or not, wallabies are a little bit, they got little man syndrome, so sometimes they can be a little bit more scrappier. Although ours are good, but the red kangaroos are really, really calm and they're good around people.
Okay. David.
Shocking.
So I think it's a great service to the community. It certainly seems like it. How do you underwrite it? Maybe I wasn't listening. Do people pay admission?
They do. So we've got, you know, several different options for people to be able to come from. We do an animal show is how everything starts. So that's the beginning of any experience that we have, minus the kangaroo yoga. We don't make you do that part. But then on top of that, we have our encounter tours, we have our otter swims, and with just the animal show, you can kind of build your own experience where after the show, if you wanted to just go into the kangaroo yard, you could pay to just go in there. If you wanted to feed an African aardvark, you could do that as well. So it's kind of your choice on who you want to interact with, but while you're there, you're able to see the animals that are all at our facility. And so right now, most of our animals are indoors, and a lot of them are in places where the public can't always see them unless if we bring them out, which is the reason why we do a lot of our animal shows, so we can bring the extra animals out. But we're hoping to be able to expand, which is what a lot of this has. I mean, we have our small animals is a barn that's proposed, so we'll be able to keep our small mammals inside there.
Yeah,
but
you don't need to repeat this.
Sorry.
So I'm just interested to, will it be self-sustaining, or will it, or do you and will you rely on contributions?
We will rely on the ticket prices for guests that are coming.
But do you think that'll goal that'll cut it? That's
yes, sir.
Great.
I mean, with our Louisiana location, we've been able to.
That's great.
So we feel very confident. I mean, we Our prices are a little bit higher than a traditional zoo, but we're given an experience that isn't comparable to a traditional.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Just looking at this site plan real quick.
Yeah.
Are you putting parking in the front yard setback?
Look like it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, down there. Oh, yeah.
That's our bus parking for the school buses that we wanted to be able to have. We were hoping to be able to try to do a few exceptions, you know, or variances, just because the nature of the property, we're very limited with how much we can actually use. The tack stitch takes out 50 feet, and also just the shape of our property. And currently, we have no way to get to the back parcel. We're landlocked from it.
I would suspect, though, if you have buses coming in, you're probably not going to need the rest of that parking for regular vehicles, because you probably wouldn't have that many people in there at the same time.
True. No, that is very true. I mean, the only other people would be maybe chaperones.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, your site plan issues are something that your site plan professional can help you solve.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
No, just I think we touched upon it, if I can, Mr. Chairman. Just I think Mr. Ford was exploring bridging across the tack stitch for the future expansion area, and I understand that's underway, and that's
we
the
do.
Discussion to have. So, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No questions. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Anyone else? Nope. All right. You take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here who has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2305, Barnhill Preserve of Delaware, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2305? Operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to conditional use number 2305?
We have Barbara on the line. Barbara, please state your name and address before making your comment.
Yes, my name is Barbara Tickle, and we own the property directly opposite this already operating zoological park at 3527 Beaver Dam Road. Mr. Mueller certainly does have a true passion for animals. But the bottom line is, this is a residential area and not a place for a zoo. When I prepared the document for the board, I was shocked to learn that this commercial enterprise was already running in this residential area. We believe that approval of this variance will impact in a negative way on the environment, its quiet beauty, its residential nature, and the people who bought homes and live in this area bought them to relax and enjoy the beauty of Sussex County, knowing that no large commercial enterprise would be built in their backyard. In researching Zoological Park, we found that most often these are larger commercial enterprises. We feel this type of commercial enterprises has downsides, such as safety issues, noise issues, traffic issues, waste management, and rubble issues. The animals can sometimes be heard crying at night. Mr. Mueller talked about parking and people attending, numbers of people and buses who will monitor all of this parking and the amount of people there. As a teacher for 52 years, I had people like Mr. Mueller come to my school and my classroom to show their animals and not build a zoo in a residential area. Furthermore, the description of some of the activities, kangaroo yoga, wine with the animals, painting with the animals, these seem to me like really something more for humans and the prices for high profit. These belong in a safe zoo and an appropriate environment. They do not belong in a residential area. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, we thank you. Operator, is there anyone else standing by who might like to speak?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there is no one else on the line who would like to speak.
Okay, thank you, operator.
Let me just make a request or a question. This is AR1. He could put chicken houses on this property if he wanted, correct?
So with the setbacks, yes.
Oh. Chicken houses there. I used to work in them.
I used to play there.
Hogs? Okay, you could put,
hogs out there.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've got 7 acres, you could put horses and cows.
Eight hogs.
Okay, thank you. That's just wanted to make that.
Okay. All right. Anyone else on the commission have any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.